So what I'd like to do now, if it's okay with you, is share with you my principles that I've learned since I really took off in 2013. Where we are now, within 4 years, and I'll say really the growth has been the last 2 years, we're now the second largest coach school in the country, about to be the first. We're going to have a presence in 25 countries. We'll probably have a training base as trainers of around about 100 trainers. I know it now. It's absolutely crystal clear, and I know how to get there. And this has come from knowing how business works. And I cannot tell you how important it is to know how business works. And I'll share my principles, and then we'll dig into your thoughts and questions. Because if it's okay, I hope it's okay to share my story. Two reasons I did it. One is to recognize that you have zero excuse. You have zero excuse as to whether you make it or not. And I really mean that. Like, working class kid from Cornwall, brought up with no money. Only reason we ended up in Cornwall from Plymouth, we used to live in a slum in Plymouth. The only reason we lived in Cornwall was because my dad lost an eye in a scaffolding accident and he got some compensation. Went to Polytechnic, didn't go to some super posh university. I went to Polytechnic, Thames Poly as it was, now Greenwich University. Totally didn't succeed in my employment roles. I was a bad bank manager, I was a bad financial advisor. Like, it just wasn't good. There's zero excuse that you've got to not succeed. That's number one. Number two is one of the things I reflect on when I look back, and I was just thinking, like, what's the story I want to tell you? And I was like, it's the hinge moments. It isn't the success moments. So you don't remember the success moments. Because the success moments are only, they're only a staging point to a different success moment. What you remember are the hinge moments, the ones where you went, this is it. I either go that direction or go that direction. Or I choose bankruptcy, or I choose fighting back. I choose backsides, or I choose a business. I choose a team, or I choose to do it myself. Those, like, when I look back, I was like, oh my God, the things you remember are the painful things that made you grow, not the successes. But for me, absolutely, I do not remember the successes. In fact, I don't even celebrate the successes, because, you know, one of the funny things I've noticed now is that what looks like success to me at one point is utterly embarrassing a year later. Like, we had a great year last year. Last year, I said to my team in January 2016, guys, we're going to be ambitious this year. We're going to do 180 sales. The previous year, we did 105. 180 was huge for us. And I remember thinking, oh my God, am I going to scare my team? Sarah was my salesperson at the time. I was like, is she going to be scared? Is she going to... We did 179 sales, and I thought that was stunning. This year, 350.
Wow.
And I look back, oh my God, I thought last year was good. So then I go, like, where am I going to be in 2018? So I don't really celebrate success. I treat it as a staging post for whatever comes next. But I do remember the hinge moments of pain, struggle, choice. Those are the things I remember. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
You interested in my 15 principles?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Part of me wants to just read these out and then expand as I go. No, no looking, Marine. So number one, well, this is the video I did on Business Lab today, and this is absolutely critical, is trust your gut. The more I think about it, the more I look back at my history as an entrepreneur and where I've made my best decisions has been trusting this, not this. And, you know, that's why, who was it asked by market research earlier?
Oh,
yeah. Never done market research, I trust my gut.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and I said on the video today that Henry Ford, there was that joke, isn't there, or the quote that Henry Ford said, if I ask my customers what they wanted, they say a faster horse.
Yeah.
And he knew that the car was a game changer. And I feel it in my bones when something feels right. And I knew the transformational coaching was where people, like, where I wanted to go, but I could feel it. There was energy towards something that wasn't just that old coaching approach, the grow model stuff. And even though you might say transformational coaching is a niche, which it is, it's actually made us now, currently, the second largest coaching school in the UK, but done with integrity. So instead of thinking about, well, let's teach what everybody's taught, but it's safe, and what do we actually want to teach? And following the gut feeling of where we want to go. So that's my first principle, is just follow your gut. So when you're questioning yourself, just really tune in. But equally, also notice your feelings. Like, about, for the, I don't know how, Evelina, whether you can share your thoughts on this, but I would say I've been a bit flat as a business owner for the last 5 months? 4 months, maybe?
Would you say yes or not?
Isn't it? What do you think?
It's
ups and downs.
Yes, probably.
Yeah. The reason being is because I didn't have a vision. And it's not that there was anything wrong with the business, it was just too easy. Like, we've grown from 180 students last year to 350 this year. Cash in the bank is huge now, which means it gives us opportunity to do pretty much anything we want to. But I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. Mm. Part of the reason why I took the guys on retreat was to just tap into what do we want to do. But ultimately, I've got to want to do it. Like, it's one thing for the guys to say, you know, this, I mean, Jay's like got one vision, which is to move more towards personal development. And I could feel inside us going, no, that's not who we are. We're a coaching school. So I had to tune into me. But I also needed to get something back, some vision. And I was on a canal boat last week before, and I literally woke up with the whole of Animas laid out in my mind. It wasn't brand new. It came from the retreat. It came from months and months and maybe even years of thinking. And sometimes things come to mind and then they drop off and then they come back and then they drop off. And if they keep coming back, there's something there for me.
Yeah.
And I woke up with this absolute clear vision of two things. One was the international Animas. And I just know we're going to go from Toronto all the way down to Buenos Aires and from Dubai across to Tokyo and from Dublin across to...
Germany.
Germany, of course, but St. Petersburg, as Eastern Europe as we can go. So, I mean, it's like, that just became super clear. But equally, so did the portfolio of products. And instead of just diploma, there was going to be relationship coaching courses and group coaching courses, and but all to the standard I want. No more two-day CPDs, which are nice as a little pop, but they don't give you lasting skills. It just became bang. It was like that, and the minute I got that feeling, I was like, ah, oh, at last, I'm back.
Yeah.
So you've got to tune into the feeling, because it'd be very easy to kind of try to ignore the feeling, or to try to manage it away. Oh, let me go and do some mindfulness. No, forget mindfulness. Figure out what that feeling is telling you. You know, if you're feeling something, it's because something's not right.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to mindfulness it away, or go to a therapist and figure out why you're not satisfied, figure out what it's trying to tell you. So the first two things was gut feeling. Sorry, gut, trusting your gut and going with the true feeling you've got. That's my first one. Second one. This is so interesting. Is just don't be afraid to make mistakes. And I was mentoring a group last year, and somebody said, Nick, I've got a massage company or massage practice, and I've got a coaching practice, I've got this practice, and do I do them all as one, or do I do all three? And if I do that, won't they think it's a bit weird that I'm doing that? Because won't there be like a different kind of brand? And if I change my website, won't they think I'm a bit flaky? And I'm like, they're not thinking about you. They've got more important things in their life than your brand or your website or whether you're now doing massage and coaching or just coaching by yourself. Nobody cares. So make mistakes, because nobody's noticing.
So true.
Nobody is noticing. I promise you that you can look back at the history of the smart school. Smart school is a mistake. Just the name is a mistake. You can look back at all these things. Nobody remembers. Nobody goes, that Nick Bolton, he made that mistake that time. So my second principle is just don't avoid making mistakes. Do stuff. Yeah. Take action. I saw somebody put something on the business lab today, which was something like thinking that's not followed by action is just thinking. Or something, I've forgotten exactly what it was.
Dreams or something, isn't it?
It wasn't there. It was something to do with thinking and action. And it was so true. If you don't take action, you've just thought. A thought is just a series of chemical and electrical things. It's nothing. It only matters when you do something with it. So my second principle is get on and do stuff, make mistakes, and don't worry about it. Because nobody's caring. Like, it's interesting. I mentored Fawzi for the last year. And when Fawzi told me what she's doing tonight, I had to really cast my mind back to remember the conversations we've had. I'm not going, but Fawzi said this, Mary. I'm going, I haven't got a clue what Fawzi said back then.
Yeah.
I've got my own life unfolding.
Yeah.
So you've got to go for it. Number three. This is one I love. It's you've got to, in my opinion, you've got to develop patient urgency. Ah. This is probably, I would say, this is one of my greatest strengths. Patient urgency. Yep, I really believe this. And actually, if you watch Gary, sometimes I watch Gary Vaynerchuk, and I'm like, oh my God, literally, he and I are soulmates. He's just much more successful than I am with his business. He talks about macro and micro.
Yeah.
Be fast at the micro, slow at the macro. This is what I mean by patient urgency. You've got to take action like this. But you, sorry about that, Jay. You've got to take action fast, but you expect results over time. And if you take action fast and you expect the result tomorrow, you're going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. You're going to wonder why nobody does this and why nobody does that and how come this and how come that. You've got to take action fast, but have the patience to let it play out. Mm. But when I look at myself as an entrepreneur, I believe I'm now a really good entrepreneur. But it's taken 18 years. I believe I wasn't a good entrepreneur before. I had good aspects to me. I had good ability to sell. I was a good salesman, both individually and as a system salesman. I can create things that sell. I was terrible with understanding how business actually works, how money runs through a business. I was terrible at building a team. So I wasn't a good entrepreneur holistically. I believe I am now. I really believe I am now. I feel like I've reached a point where I'm like, right now, this next 18 years is going to be fascinating to watch. I can see Evelina nodding, which is so nice to see. But, you know, it's like this next 18 years for me is going to be fascinating to see unfolding, because now I've put the 18 years of hard grinding to learn all the lessons from making mistakes, lots and lots of mistakes, taking action, lots and lots of action, and being patient that at some point I would get to where I need to get to. Make sense? Mm. That for me is patient urgency. Take action all the time. Have the patience to see it unfold over a period of time. Number four is create what you want. Don't just do the norm. The reason why I say this is because when I created Animas, or the Smart School as it was, I looked around at the marketplace. And I was like, that isn't good for what we're trying to do as an industry. So when I set up the Smart School, I set out deliberately to be different. I didn't go like, ooh, I better be the same. I set out to do what I wanted to do, which was different. That gives something to grab onto. It gives something for people to go, like, ah, that's why I'll choose that rather than that. So I think number four is do what you want to do rather than do what you think is safe. Because the norm isn't about what you think the market needs. The norm is about playing safe. Make sense? It's like if you do the norm, you can't fail. That's the theory. But the truth is, you'll also be mediocre. Mm. Okay, so my fifth one is... this is an interesting one. Is be persistent, but taste. That's an interesting word. Taste when you think it's not going to work. Because I don't know if you guys have ever tried anything, and you get to a point where you're like, I'm just flogging a dead horse here. At that point, it's actually wise to say, this isn't working. What do I need to do differently? And so I think you've got to be super persistent as a business owner, but also know when it's time to go like, okay, I think this has run its course. Ready to go for 6 to 10?
Yes. Yeah.
Let's get some out for you, Maureen. It's what you do every day that makes the difference. It's what you do every day that makes the difference. But what I mean is the small stuff.
Yeah.
Like when I had my first business doing conferences, one of the things I relied on is building up an internal database of police forces, social work, blah, blah, blah. Every single day, I made sure I grew my database by... I don't remember how many now because it's too long ago, but I would, and it was called a DIP, daily implementation plan. It was, I've got to do this many things on my Excel spreadsheet to build my database every day without fail. Do that 5 days a week, 4 weeks a month, 12 months a year, you've suddenly got a decent database. It was those small things. Mm-hmm. We often think that the business is predicated on the big things, the big successes, the time you're on the stage in front of these 5,000 people. It's not. It's what gets you on the stage. I remember a lady saying to me once, Nick, how could you, or Mr. Bolton, she was a police officer, how could you charge £250 for this seat in this conference? And I said, I'm not charging you £250 for the seat in the conference, I'm charging you for everything it took to make that seat happen.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And it's the stuff you do every single day. It's the stuff I do on the lounge, it's the stuff I do on Animas Connect, it's the stuff I do on my team, yes. It's the conversations I have, it's not the big win, it's everything. Like we have an ITC now 3 times a month. ITC being introduction day. We have it 3 times a month, 30 people every single time. That's grown hugely this year, but it's only grown because we've done everything else constantly behind the scenes, the AdWords, the Facebook ads, what Jay's doing tonight, constantly producing content. It's the stuff we do every single day that adds up to the big hole. There is no big hole, you just do. Make sense? Mm-hmm. And so it's about developing habits and routines. I think it was Aristotle that said, excellence is what you do every... I don't know what he said. Did anyone know what he said? Aristotle said?
We'll go with that.
It was something like, excellence is the sum of the things you do without thinking about it or something. It's so,
it's
so true.
Excellence is therefore in the habit, I think.
Yeah. Excellence. That's it. Okay, here's another interesting one, which is... This is one I struggle with, but it's important, I think, which is you've got to do the things you don't like as well as the things you do like. If those things are needed... And you can't outsource them. So, for instance, in the early days of my business, the stuff I didn't like doing, I don't do anymore because I've outsourced them. But there are other things I don't like doing which only I can do. So, for instance, I'm a very introverted person. I don't particularly think to myself, wouldn't it be great to go and spend an evening with 11 people I don't know very well and talk about myself? That is so not who I am. But I recognise if I'm going to kickstart the symposium concept, I've got to have the guts and the bravery to go and do that. For the first time, because historically I don't want to look back and go, do you remember that first symposium I did? It was with some random person, we don't remember who she was anymore. It had to be me. It's not comfortable for me to talk about myself, but I kind of feel like I've got to. And so I think there are some things that as a business owner you just have to do. Like I've only just given up doing the introduction days, I've been doing them for 9 years now, and I finally gave up doing the introduction days, and it's such a relief because I don't like being in the front of a class. I haven't trained now for a long time. Now I don't do those, and it's like, oh, finally I'm beginning to get the life I want. But I had to do that work, grind it out year after year, because you've got to do the stuff that's needed as well as the stuff you like. Yeah. Focus on what really matters. And what I mean by that is, I don't mean focus on love. I mean, when you're growing a business, focus on revenue. When you're growing a business, focus on the quality of the service you deliver. When you're growing a business, focus on systems that support you. Like, that's far more important than, should I do a YouTube channel that makes me... Like, forget that. Until you've got a revenue stream, unless YouTube is seriously part of your revenue stream, until you've got a revenue stream, forget YouTube. You know, so start doing the things that really matter. When I ran my first business... I was always super conscious about what were the absolute... Thanks, Evelina. What were the absolute deal breakers that if I got them wrong, my customers would have a bad experience. If I got those right, everything else will take care of itself in time. But I had to sell the places, I had to deliver the conference, I had to make sure the customer came in with a seat to sit on and a speaker at the front and a lunch that was warm. Like, that was the stuff that mattered, right? Not the Simon Sinek start with why. I think the Simon Sinek start with why stuff. You know, you're familiar with start with why?
Yeah.
Great concept, way too early for most people to think about it.
Yeah.
Get busy, get active, start doing stuff that makes the business work. And then you'll get your why. Like, I've only just, after 8-9 years of my coaching school, begun to taste the why. Still not entirely sure what it is. We kind of have a feeling, don't we, guys, that it's redefining coaching for what it is to be human in the 21st century. We have a taste of it, but I wouldn't say it's super clear yet. So do the stuff that matters. And it's the stuff that's going to keep you breathing. Because, you know, money running through a business keeps your business breathing. And I've learned to my cost that when money runs out, so does your business. When your business runs out, so does the impact you're trying to make. So do the stuff that matters, the stuff that's going to keep you in business, that's going to make your customers happy. Number 9 is build a team. Do you know where my business, yes, my business absolutely took off 2 years ago when I finally went, Nick, you can't do it all alone. And do you know what? You guys could have a team too. You too could have a team. Like, I've just employed somebody full-time who Evelina's managing. How's she doing? How's Cecile doing? She's phenomenal, right? Full-time, doing all the kind of the routine work that Evelina used to do, £200 a month, full-time, based in the Philippines. Phenomenally good. So there's no excuse even to say, well, I'm just starting out, I can't afford a member of staff. You can. You could pay somebody £100 a month to have a half-time member of staff doing stuff for you. And honestly, I would say the biggest thing that shifted for me in the last couple of years is building a team. And it was scary because I wasn't a very good manager at first. And so I'd employ people, make lots of mistakes, have to let them go. And you might have seen, you know, you guys probably, you're newer, so you probably haven't seen too much, but Hans will have seen people come and go. And you employ people and it's like, yeah, they're not quite right. Or you employ people and there's no, you know, they're really good, but there's no other for them to grow because you're too small a company. So like Nathan was a great example of somebody who was brilliant. He was too big for Animas where we were at that point. He had to kind of fly. And that's okay. But you've got to get good at growing a team and trusting how you grow that team, because that's going to take you to a different level, in my opinion, as a business owner rather than as a solo practitioner. Number 10, let's get you through that. It's two-thirds at least. Okay, this is my personal big one. Hans has just alluded to it with his massive pile, which is learn, and learn some more. Like, I never, ever stop reading. In particular, I read mainly business. I mean, I love coaching, but I'm an entrepreneur more than I'm a coach. Some of my favourite writers, Jim Collins, Michael Gerber, Vern Harnish, Scaling Up, it's a fabulous book. I just never stop. I've just finished a book recently on sales management, and I learned so much from this book on sales management that I could then take back to Karen and Aveta. Learn. Like, you've got to learn how business works. It's so critical. Right, I'm going to do the last five. Do you want to hear these, or are you going to?
Yeah.
You're in it for the long haul.
Might as well.
Okay, this is so important. Honestly, it's so important. Understand how business actually works. And I've only just figured it out. But, like, for instance, for a long time, we were selling a decent amount, but there was barely enough money in the business. We were, like, doing this. And then about 2 years ago, I went into a mentoring group, and the guy said to me, "What's your ambition for this year ahead?" And I said, "To put my course price up by £1,000. And he said, "Well, that's not a big deal, is it? Thinking I could just whack a nought on or whack a one on." I was like, "Well, it's not quite that simple. I've got to justify why it's £1,000 dear and so on." I hadn't reckoned for what impact that would make. Putting that one extra one on that figure from 2995 to 3995, not only do we sell many, many, many more places, which was weird to me, because you kind of think, I put the price up, it should go down, but no, it went up. More importantly, the cash that came into the business was unbelievable. And that gave us a security we've never had before. And it then gave us what Jay and I are working with now a lot is marketing budget, something we'd never had before. So we've grown our introduction to coaching days from when I took over from Sarah. It was a year and a half ago? We were on 60 a month. I got it to 100 a month by the end of the year. From August to the end of the year, I got it to 100 a month. We're now at 250 a month in a year. And that's because we had the budget to actually start to put into marketing. And that only happens when you've got cash. So one of the things I've learned is that revenue is almost irrelevant. The only thing about revenue is it gives you momentum. Profit is kind of like the key number, but only if you can translate that profit into cash. And then remembering, even that cash isn't yours until you pay the tax. Which was a lesson I learned. And so recognise how business works. Other things, like just understanding how to... So the one I was going to say about your dad, Lorraine, is I don't know your dad's business. I haven't got a clue, so you don't need to answer me. But I bet there are small tweaks within his existing system that would revolutionise his business. He could put his profit margin up by 10%. Now, if you increase your price by 10%, it can often even do a 50% profit increase. So you're effectively growing your business by 50%, even though the actual price hike is only 10%, because you're growing the profit margin, not just the revenue. Oh, it's phenomenal. Once you understand how business actually works, as you know how in The Matrix, when Neo finally sees the world as numbers, that's how I now start to see business. I look at the business.
No, I haven't either.
Oh, really?
You've seen The Matrix?
So there's a little bit where he sees the world as it really is.
You've lived under a rock, come on, you've got to see The Matrix.
But it's true. Once you start to understand how business really works, it's huge.
So, what book would you recommend to kind of see and learn, or kind of get a better perspective?
Crabtree.
I think I've heard of that.
Crabtree. I think the name of the book is "Simple Numbers, Big Profits." Simple numbers, something big profits, and it teaches you how to think about business in. How does it actually work? How do you calculate staff costs versus return on expenses of their salary? And, oh, it's just incredible when you start to see businesses' numbers.
Yeah, that's
what you can come and see me.
Greg Crabtree is the author.
I can trade you.
He's only written one.
Okay.
And also Found the Money by Wilkinghoff, and also Profit First by Mike Michalowicz.
Okay.
Those will revolutionise how you see business. I'm going to whiz through the last ones before you, so you can head off if you need to, because I feel like we're getting to the end now. Number 12. Keep one eye on the future, but everything else on the present. Totally.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The businesses that's happening now is where it's at. The future is over there. Keep an eye on it, but do everything else now.
Yeah.
13. Got to tell you this, guys. No one owes you
anything.
A thing. I think, honestly, I think once we start to realise that nobody owes you a thing, like, you won't find me embittered by anything, because nobody owes you a thing. Yeah. So if I do a free bunch of, if I do a load of Animas lectures and then I market a product and nobody buys it, it's not their job to buy it. It's my job to do a good job marketing it. And what happens is a lot of business owners grumble that customers aren't doing X, Y, Z. It's not their job to do X, Y, Z for you. Mm-hmm. Once you start to realise that nobody owes you anything, including the government, including Donald Trump, including Nigel Farage, including who's the Brexit guy that nobody in Europe? No, the other one.
Oh,
any of those people, like, they don't owe you anything. So start to trust yourself, start to rely on yourself, and don't get caught up in the politics of envy or the politics of anger or any of that stuff. You're here for one life. Nobody owes you anything.
Exactly.
I'm getting very philosophical with these last ones. 14 is face reality and deal with it, because it's all you've got. Yeah. So you'll never, ever, ever hear me worrying about what happens because of Brexit. I don't care. Yeah. Whatever happens because of Brexit happens because of Brexit, and I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Oh, full stop.
Definitely.
And it's amazing how many business owners worry about what happens if.
Yeah.
But you can care, but don't. You've still got to deal with what is.
I know. Yeah.
Like, if you start going, oh, but if it hadn't been for Brexit, .. Like, how many Eastern Europeans train through Animas? Lots. Does that mean if they stop training through Animas, I'm going to go like.
Impact. I mean, in property, there's an impact. You know, if you're in London, there is an impact.
I'm not saying there isn't, but you've got to deal with it.
My
point is, don't cry over spilled milk, essentially.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Look, it's funny, I was talking to one of my team the other day, and she'd been paid a nice big bonus. And she said, but Nick, most of that bonus goes to tax. And she said, it's 35% tax. And I'm like, it's not 35% tax. And so we had a little bit of a debate about it. I said, look, here's the thing. You wouldn't even have that salary if we lived in a country where we didn't pay tax. It allows us to sell coaching.
Yeah.
Because coaching wouldn't exist in a country where there was no tax. So trust that you're looking like curious. Think about it. The kind of country that requires tax is the only kind of country where coaching could survive.
Honestly, I'm really happy to pay my tax. I think it's so crucial that we.
That's my point.
I do. But I mean,
how they spend the tax is debatable, etc., etc. But the fact we're living in a Western democracy where the paying tax is a symptom of the civilization that allows coaching to take place, you wouldn't have your bonus without the tax. Yeah. Pay it, be happy, right?
Yeah.
So that's my point about it. It's like, face reality. Tax is one reality, Brexit's another reality, Trump's another reality. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what I notice is too many people get worried about what could have been, should have been, instead of dealing with what is.
Yeah.
Last one, Winston Churchill. What did he say?
He said, no. Madam, what did he say? I will be sober in the morning.
What did he say?
I was going to do the beaches, but I don't think it's about
He said, never.
Oh, right, no.
Ever
surrender.
Give up.
Ever.
You're killing me.
Come on.
He actually did say this.
That's all he did.
Give up.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's different. I can already see hands.
Yeah.
Going. Hold on a second. No, it's not. You can give up. You can figure out what's not working, but you're not giving up on your journey.
You're doing something else instead.
But you're giving up on particular strategies.
Yeah, well, that's not giving up. That's like saying failing. There's no such thing as failure apart from when you finally stop. That's failing.
Yeah.
When you go, I wanted a business, but I'm going to go back to employment. Somebody recently said to me,
a lot of people do that.
Of course they do. And that's giving up. That's giving up. Me deciding to stop a particular landing page or stop a particular course, it's not giving up. That's taking strategic choice.
And you're doing something else.
Giving up is the one that goes, I've stopped.
Yeah.
And there's just no need for it. I was mentoring somebody recently, and I said, if my business works, I'm like, hold on. What would stop it working? It's not that a business will work, but it only won't work because of something you're not doing right.
Like, if you're doubting it in the first place.
Well, even doubt can be a very powerful motivation, actually. It's what you do with the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, I was going to mentor somebody recently. They said, please, would you mentor me? I was like, okay, I will. And she said, how much you want to earn in the first year? I was like, I don't like that number.
Mm-hmm.
I said, where does it come from? She said, well, I was earning 14,000 last year. I want to do 10 times that. And I said, that's the wrong reason to do it. It's entirely arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and I said, look, we need to talk about that number. If you can show me why that number is feasible, I'll mentor you, but you need to show me. And she said, are you doubting me? And she said, oh, you're just questioning me. I said, both. In fact, you know, I'm questioning you, but show me why I shouldn't. But otherwise, you need to strategize it, because that's just an arbitrary number you've chosen. So doubt is fine if it then triggers in you a way to deal with it. In my opinion. Just let me put that as a meta frame for everything I've just said to you guys. This is all my opinion. It's all what I've taken. And I think the point with these 15... Let me give them out, actually. My point with these 15 is that the ones that I've lived, rather than ones that I've read or thought about, or they just become like in my bones. And they might not be your bones. Your bones might be entirely different ones. But giving up is very different from stopping something, hence. Yeah. Giving up is just giving up. It's ending it. Yeah.